once again, I'm very happy to be here, and I'm grateful that all of you are here. This feast day, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, is new in the sense that Mary and Lazarus are on the list. I have always, up until 2021, we have always honored this day as the Feast of Saint Martha, a very popular saint, because so many people can so easily identify with her as a person who gets busy with the affairs of the day, of hospitality, and loses track of the more important things. I think all of us can relate to that. Well, then Pope Francis added her sister Mary and her brother Lazarus to the feast, and now it's a feast of a family that welcomes Jesus into their home, rather than Martha welcoming Jesus into her home. Maybe it doesn't seem that big a difference, but it actually changes it quite a bit for me. And I like it in this sense. You know, I've been a priest for over 20 years, and so I've spoken on pretty much every scripture in the liturgy and every saint in the year. And I have a whole storehouse of stuff to say about saints and about scriptures. But about this feast day, no, I don't, because it only changed in 2021. So 2022, we had it, and then today. Right? So let me start with a little story, because this change happened in the COVID time. And I have COVID on my brain, of course. But I'm in the Philippines, and in the Philippines, first of all, they're very joyful people, and have great sense of humor. So when this change was made, a whole series of jokes started getting spread around. It's the Filipino way of dealing with contradictions, with tension, you know, with hardship, and there's plenty of hardship in life. It's a very hot country, so you can kind of feel how that is here. Anyway, the government, for COVID purposes, they came up with this task force. I think everywhere in the world this happened. People didn't know what to do, so they came up with new rules. And the task force, it was kind of frightened people, because a task force in the Philippines means it's a committee that comes up with tasks for you to do, and then they force you to do them. That was the task force. Anyway, they came up with lots and lots of rules about how to handle COVID. And one of the things they said was, okay, vulnerable populations have to stay home. So anybody over 65 has to stay home, stay in the house, very strict. And then they said, well, also children have to stay home. So anyone under 18 had to stay home. People start rolling their eyes, okay, that's pretty much everybody. And then they said, and anybody who has in their home, anybody over 65 or anybody under 18, they have to stay home. So people are starting to say, wait a minute now, where do these people live? Who lives in a house without anybody under 18 or over 65? There isn't anybody in the whole Philippines who doesn't have somebody in their house over 65 or under 18. So this is where the jokes started coming in. So let's try to find a household where there's somebody who's not over 65 and there's not someone under 18. What did they discover? Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Okay, special intercessors for the time of confinement. Okay, you can call on Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, because Martha, because she'll take care of everything in the house. Mary, because she'll intercede for you. Lazarus, because he knows how to die and come back to life. So there you got it. You've got it. Everything you need to survive a pandemic. Let's just reflect a little bit on these three adult disciples, friends of Jesus. And I think this is valuable because that's who we are. We're adult disciples, friends of Jesus. It is connected to our theme of today, the Eucharistic theme, because in the Eucharist, our Lord and Savior, our friend, is with us. He comes to be with us. Now we think of, because that's our religious imagination, we think of being with Jesus as going to the church or coming to a chapel like this and doing prayers, and then we go home. But Martha, Mary, and Lazarus remind us that no, our relationship with Jesus is just as important, just as real at home as it is at church and anywhere else we go. And this idea of relating to Jesus at home enriches our whole understanding of the relationship. So and most people, as I said, relate very well to Martha because everyone knows what it's like to be busy. But we can reflect on how these three, not only how they related to Jesus, but how they related to each other. Martha and Mary had completely different personalities, as we know, and they didn't get along all the time. Well, whose household doesn't have times when you don't get along with the people you live with? I mean, that's pretty much every household. It's not an indication that you're not holy or that you're not friends of Jesus or you're not disciples of Jesus. It's just part of being in the human family. Martha has this quick tongue, and she's quick to say, not only to Mary, you know, get up off your rear end and do a little work, but to say to Jesus, you know, my sister is being a loafer here, and she's not doing her part. But Martha is very expressive about what she feels, which is a good thing to do when you're talking to the Lord. Because when you talk to the Lord, which is what prayer is, then he can give you a response and say, look, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and upset about many things, and why don't you calm down and be more like Mary? So that's a very good thing to happen. Mary, well, let's focus on this experience of the death of their brother, because part of the experience of being a disciple, aside from not getting along with each other, part of the experience is enduring contradictions, hardships, suffering, losses. Just because we belong to the Lord, it doesn't mean that we're not going to suffer very sorrowful moments. In the case of Martha and Mary, their brother died. Now, it seems as if he's the youngest, I don't really know, but Martha seems to be the oldest. Mary seems to be the second, because that's the way it is in family, standard family dynamics. There's the eldest is always the active one, and the second one takes a completely different course, and then the third one's the baby of the family, so that's Lazarus, and he dies. Well, actually, he gets sick. And when he's sick, they send the message to Jesus, the one you love is sick. The one you love, your friend, someone who we think you want him to be alive and you have the power to do it. And Jesus waits. He waits. Doesn't rush to Bethany and save his friend, his friends. He doesn't. And this isn't this the truth? I mean, he doesn't just do what we tell him to do. It doesn't mean he doesn't love us. It doesn't mean we don't love him. It doesn't mean something's wrong in our relationship. God is in charge of these things. When Lazarus finally dies, Jesus gets up and decides to go there. When he gets there, what does Martha say? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. In other words, this is your fault. You could have done something about this, and you didn't. I mean, she's not blasting him, but she's making it pretty clear what she thinks. You could have done it differently, which is true. What's not true is that Jesus was not there. And this is what I'd like to connect to our Eucharistic theme. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Well, even if he had been there, her brother might have died. Even when Jesus is with us, people die. Because Jesus did not come for us to live forever in this world. That wasn't his plan. It never was. Well, ever since the fall, anyway. But so to say, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, is not exactly true. That's her impression. And I want to connect this to the presence of the Lord with us in the Eucharist, which is our focus of the second part of this morning. In the Eucharist, the Lord is with us. We can't say, if you had been here, because he is here. And we can't say, if you had been here, things would have been differently, because he is here. And even though he is here, things don't happen the way we want them to. So that idea that if the Lord is with me, things will go the way I want, is wrong. Much better to say, thank you, Lord, for being with me, and help me to welcome what you are doing in my life and in the life of our family, so that when things go wrong, I don't lose my faith. Jesus, in this gospel that Deacon Brian read, doesn't go into all that. He just says, your brother will rise. In other words, he takes the blame, because Martha said, it's your fault. And Jesus says, well, your brother will rise. In other words, this is not a dead-end story. You're grieving, but your grief will come to an end. Your brother will rise. She says, yeah, I know. Eventually. But right now, he's dead in the tomb. He's been there 4 days. I know he will rise in the resurrection. And this is where Jesus makes this declaration of his identity. Now this again is a Eucharistic insight. Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is life. So where Jesus is, there is risen life. Where Jesus is, there is life. Even at the door of the tomb, Jesus puts her on the spot now. She tried to put him on the spot by saying, You know, it would have been differently if you had come. And he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes will live, and anyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Now, that's quite a thing to say to someone whose brother is in the tomb. Do you believe this? It would be different if he raised Lazarus from the dead first, Lazarus come forth, and then said, okay, Martha, do you believe this? And she would say, sure, I believe it. I just saw it happen. But she did not see it happen yet. So this is the challenge of faith. Do you believe this without seeing Lazarus come up out of the tomb? Do you believe in the resurrection even though you can't see it? And this is where Martha rises to the occasion and says, yes, Lord, I believe. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Of God, the one who is coming into the world. A declaration of faith in Jesus as the resurrection and the life. Jesus who is with us. And when we are with him, we have risen life, even though our brother's in the tomb. Great declaration of faith. Now, we're going to get to the Eucharist. Of course, the Mass is the Eucharist. And when we reflect on the Eucharist, we're going to reflect on this presence of Jesus with us, and our relationship with the one who is the resurrection and the life. That's perhaps as far as we'll go for right now, but it's already with the witness of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, we already have this indication of what it means to be a friend, disciple of Jesus, what it means to have faith in the resurrection and the life, no matter what we are experiencing in our family life or in our home, and no matter what we are seeing in the culture of death, you know, that there are tombs everywhere. No matter what we see with our eyes, we know by faith Jesus is the resurrection and the life.